I began a series basically on the dance, the divine dance, And we're talking about the Trinity, talking about the Godhead, the fact that our God, although is one God, is three persons. And it's something that the natural mind, we struggle to compute it. It's like, hang on, you can't have it both ways. He's either one or he's three. He can't be both. And yet there's lots of things, and we looked at this morning in introduction. I'm not going to go right over it. Who was here this morning? Okay, everyone else, you just need to listen to the website, listen to the podcast from this morning. It should be up by Tuesday or something like that, because I can't go over all the information. But we looked at a number of different things and paradoxes in our world where we can say, well, I can't believe we're in one and three, but there's lots of other paradoxes in our world similar to that that we just have to accept. So listen to the message. As I said, I can't go right back through it. And I began in John chapter 1, the Gospel of John, verse 3, and it says, and speaking about Jesus, all things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. And then we went to a parallel verse in the Old Testament, the very first book of the Bible, the very first chapter of the Bible, the very first few verses of the Bible, which speaks about creation, which is being mentioned there in 1 John. In John chapter 1. And it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And then God said, let there be light. And there was light. And it's just interesting. John talks about in the beginning, the very first verse, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Then it goes on to say, and all things were created through him. You go back to the Old Testament and you see at the beginning of creation that God was there, the Holy Spirit was there hovering over the waters, and then God spoke a word, which is that word that's outlined in John. So we see this plurality in the God we serve. Are you with me? Did I lose anyone in the corners? We see this plurality. I had trouble with that word this morning as well. And so the three are present at creation, yet we believe in one God. And then we looked at, you know, creation itself and this whole Trinitarian construct of an atom, where we had a picture of an atom and we looked at what an atom is. And there's three elements in an atom, and everything in our created world is made up of atoms. Anything that is material, anything that is gas, anything that is liquid, everything has an atomic structure. And it's interesting that in every atom, even though atoms are different, they all have three elements, the same three elements, protons and neutrons, which form the nucleus of the atom. They're heavier, so they bind together at the center. And running around the outside in perpetual motion are these electrons. And even something that's as hard and solid as a lead pencil is actually, I won't say alive, but there's movement in it. It's vibrating. Even a dead piece of wood in a pencil is actually vibrating, it's resonating, it has a vibration, which interestingly is where we get sound from, which is what happens when we speak. We create vibrations that travel through the air so you can hear. So everything in creation is actually speaking, has like a vocal signature, which we shouldn't be surprised by, because Scripture says everything in creation was created with a word. And so it's like embossed in it, this watermark of God is upon everything within our creation. And then we looked at the actual theological description. So in the 3rd century, some of the early church fathers, in trying to get their head around the fact that God is one God and yet three distinct persons, in trying to get their head around it, they coined, or they took a hold of a Greek word that they felt best described what this Trinitarian God is. And it's the Greek word parakalesis. It's a compound word, parakalesis. peri and choresis. Sorry, not choresis, choresis. And those two words, peri is the word, we use it in words like periscope. We use it in words like perimeter. It literally means around or a circle. And then choresis, which is the Greek word for dance. And we get the word choreography from it. So literally these early theologians, in trying to describe three persons in one God, they knew they were in total unity. They knew they were in total harmony. And they said, it is like a dance. It is like God is dancing around within himself in a circle. And when one moves, the others move in that sense. All the persons moving in perfect unity, there is one impulse. They don't mix substance. They are totally separate. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And yet there is one impulse that drives the heart of each. So that's where we started to get to. Are you okay? You're keeping up? That's why you need to get the tape from this morning. It'll fill in some of the blanks for you. And so we have this divine community dancing around one another in love. And I actually like that. I like the fact that God's a dancer. Would you rather God be an angry old man on a throne, casting thunderbolts down of judgment? And we talked about this morning. Many Christians have got a concept of God that is far closer to Greek mythology and Greek gods like Zeus than what it is to a heavenly Father that Jesus actually revealed to us. That God is just the great big judge of the universe. He's wait, you're either in or you're out, you're right or you're wrong, and if you're wrong, look out. Whereas actually the picture of the scripture is that God, who has created everything in perpetual motion, is inviting us to join the dance. As he dances, he's inviting us to join the dance. It's not so much about being in or out, being excluded or included, being right or being wrong, but are you on a journey? Do you recognize that everything you are living and breathing within the context of something that is continuously moving, even when it looks like it's dead still? Cool. As I said, the Greek word for dance is choresis, and it is the root word for choreography. And of course, we know what a choreographer does. I guess he gets everyone in the dance dancing their little bit so that it all fits in together, so that they're actually all moving in beat, moving in sync, even if people have different parts. It's all, in a sense, the dance is joined. It's moving. It's flowing with one another. And the whole concept of choreography is participation. It would look really weird if eight of the dancers, one just decided to stop dancing. All of a sudden, it's like something's not working there. So the whole thought is that everyone's continuously moving. And I want to tell you, there is an invitation to be part of the dance for all of us. All of creation is a dance. And the fact is, all of life is a dance, if you haven't noticed. But we have to choose which dance we're going to be part of. You know, I look at some of the dances that happen in our society that are maybe not as joyous as this. There's the dance of gossip and comparison. Come on, how else could you describe that but a dance? Who's ever been caught in the middle of some of that stuff? And you're sort of like trying to dance around people, trying to dance around topics. Being hurt by things that are said and not being able to say anything in return. And if you do, then it turns into a great big poop fight. Or the pride and performance dance. Some people get caught up in that. And the pride of life, or performing for acceptance. And it's like this dance that you just can't stop. There's the whole manipulative inclusion-exclusion game. It's like a dance, whether that's in the schoolyard, whether that's in a coffee shop with acquaintances or workmates, or whether that's on social media. It's just mad, some of the games people play. There's the dance of immorality or the dance of purity. Which one are you dancing? The dance of destiny or the dance of distraction? And the fact is, like so much entertainment, or what we call entertainment in our world, is just a distraction that takes people out of the true dance of life, but actually somehow convinces them that they're part of it. Yeah. Yeah. You know, in all honesty, the world is looking for heroes. Young guys want to be heroes. God has hardwired men to want to do something awesome on behalf of others. But a 48-3 kill-death ratio on COD really isn't it. Oh, I'm just like a hero. Yeah, you and about 47 million other young people from every nation on the planet can do that. And while you're doing that, absorbed in that tiny little, you know, non-real world, dancing with that, there's actually real world needs in the real life that are crying for a hero.
Yeah.
To stand up and dance the dance of life. And so I want to encourage us tonight, get in the dance. Get in the dance. How? Well, I'm going to go over the next few weeks. I'm going to try and just do a number of things that are like triplets, because this principle of three, it starts with the Adam, and all of creation has this principle of three running through it. And so much in Scripture has this principle of three. So much in the kingdom has principles of three running through it, the kingdom of God. So I want to try and unpack just a few of them, just a few principles of three. Three things all together that have incredible synergy and incredible power. And the first thing I want to look at tonight, I want to look at the Trinity of discipleship. The Trinity of, if I put it this way, the relationships that make up discipleship. Because there's three key elements, three key relationships that need to happen for discipleship to really roll out in our lives. For us, because when we talk about getting in the dance, it's like getting in what God's doing. Man, I want to talk about discipleship because Jesus said that was what we were to do.
Yeah.
You want to get in the dance with God? You want to join hands and dance with Him and flow and follow Him through life and do His will? Then you can't avoid the fact that He said, go make disciples. And so what are the elements, if we look at the Trinity of it, three things to get into if you want to get into the dance. Who's keen to get into the dance?
Yeah.
Off the sidelines and not mucking around with things that don't lead to any fruitfulness in our life, but actually getting into a dance that's going to take us on in the purpose and plan of God.
Yeah.
Here's the first one, get in the Word. You want to get in the dance? Just get in the Word. It's not a mystery. Just meet Jesus in the Word. This is one key relationship in discipleship. You've got to build your relationship with Jesus Christ. And the easiest way to do that, the Bible says He is the Word of God. So this is a static word in the sense, like, I don't believe for a moment that, you know, a Bible with leather covers or an app on an iPhone is Jesus. But that word contains revelation that reveals who God is. And that was Jesus' purpose, to come and reveal God to us. And that's why He was incarnated in human form. And so get in the Word, your relationship with God. Guess what we do at New Hope to foster that? We journal. We just open our Bibles and read something. Let God speak to you. Read a chapter and just let God speak to you. And when something begins to speak to your heart, underline it, color it in, write it into another pad, whatever you have to do, cut and paste it in your electronic apps like I do. And then start to write down what you believe God was saying to the original people, what was being said here, therefore, what does it mean for me, therefore, what am I going to do about it?
Yeah.
It's just how you begin to dance with God. You know, I was doing this well before journaling was sort of made popular in a sense. I've still got some of my original books from 30 years ago, a couple of exercise books where I used to just sit in my room, read my Bible until I felt like God was saying something, and then just write down what I thought God was saying. It's incredible. As I was thinking about this today, I was thinking, that's right, I saw them last time I was unpacking boxes in one of our spare rooms. I've held on to them, and I can remember some of the revelation contained in them. 1 John 1:9, that if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Boy, every Christian needs to know that. That John wasn't actually speaking to people outside, like people who needed to get right with God. He was speaking to people who had got their lives together with God, but were really struggling on the journey. That's something we all need to have in our heart, in our spirit. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 and 5. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty in God and effective to pull down strongholds, casting down vain imaginations and every high thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of Christ, bringing every thought into the captivity and the obedience of Jesus Christ. And you could say, well, oh, Chris, that's just a mouthful. And how do you remember that? I had to live it. I had to get into the Word, and the Word had to actually mean something to my everyday life. Coming from a place of brokenness and wherever I was at before I met Jesus, I had to actually get into the Word to grow a relationship with Jesus. Here's another great one, 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9. I'm going to put it up on the screen. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose hearts are loyal to him. And, you know, I mean, get past the weirdness of the eyes of the Lord run to and fro. It's not like there was a couple of eyeballs, you know, sprinting around the planet. This is just, you know, it's a metaphorical language for God's on the lookout. God's looking for people who were sold out to him. And I can still literally remember sitting at the end of my bed in my parents' house in Fitzpatrick Street, Toowoomba, 30 years ago, reading those words going, oh my goodness, oh my goodness, oh my goodness, it's like God is speaking to me. And as a young Christian, just giving my heart to Jesus, I was like, could this be true? Could this be real? Could I be one of those people that God sees? And I can remember just sitting in my heart, I just want to totally dedicate my heart to you. I just want to be full on, Lord, I just want to surrender whatever I have to, because I want to be one of those people that you show up for, that you support strongly. You show up and show yourself strong on behalf of, so that I can do great exploits in the name of Jesus Christ. And I remember that scripture 30 years ago, building my relationship with Jesus, God speaking to my heart. It wasn't long after that I headed off to King's Cross, worked in a drug rehab, worked on the streets of the cross with all kinds of people, which was a huge step from living in Toowoomba all your life, I can tell you that. And it was just the beginning of this amazing journey of 30 years of serving Jesus and everywhere it's taken me. But it all began with me building my relationship with Christ. I didn't realize it at the time, but when I decided I would read my Bible, and when I decided I would listen for what God was telling me, and when I decided I was determined to obey what I felt God was telling me to do, I didn't realize it, but I'd actually begun to dance. I'd actually entered into something that was so much bigger than what I was. And that invitation is there for us. Come on, it's God. It's not about who's right, who's wrong, who's in, who's out. It's about who's willing to dance. Yeah. Who's willing to dance? Here's another thought. Get into life group. Get into life group. Come on, who's in a life group here? Get into life group. Is another key. It's building out another key relationship, one of the triunity of discipleship and relationships, relationship with other believers. I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, they say, you know, you can pick your friends, but you can't choose your family. The fact is, we're all family. You know, if you're wanting to belong to God tonight, you're family. You're a brother, you're a sister. And we might not have much else in common whatsoever. But just the fact that you are leaning into God makes you a brother and sister in this place. And we need to build relationship with each other, because, I mean, at the end of the day, shadow dancing by yourself is fun, but it's nothing like having a partner. You know what I mean? And sometimes it's a bit like a bush dance. You know, I've been at those bush dances where everyone goes around in a circle and you swap partners every round, sort of thing, and you get to know everyone in the room. Man, that's just a brilliant picture of church. Don't be sidelined. Don't let disappointment with people or frustration or hurts, or don't let that stuff take you out of what God's got for you, because part of what God's got for us, it's not just promises from his word, but it's actually people in our lives that God's got for us. John chapter 17, verse 20 through 21, Jesus prayed this way, and this is what you could call his great high priestly prayer. It's at the end of his ministry. People say, oh, the Lord's Prayer, and they talk about our Father who art in heaven. No, that was our prayer. It's not the Lord's Prayer, that's our prayer. He said, you pray this way. But when he prayed in John 17. And this is part of his prayer. I do not pray for these alone. He was talking about his original disciples. But also for those who will believe in me through their word, which is us. Here's Jesus' prayer for us. That they all may be one. As you, Father, are in me and I in you. That they also may be one in us. That the world may believe that you sent me. And in a sense, you know what Jesus was saying, what Jesus recognized all that time back, if we could just get our act together and actually let our lives flow together, and there was some love and there was some grace and there was some compassion and there was some generosity and everything else that makes for great relationships, man, that would be a witness to our world. And it would actually foster belief in our world if they just saw us together on the same page. So relationship with one another, it's where we work our Christianity out. You know, I can look like a fantastic Christian in a vacuum. If I never had to talk to anyone, I'd look really patient. You know what I mean? If I never heard what someone else said about me, I'd look like really self-confident. But it's when you actually get in community with people and there's sometimes we step on each other's toes. You talk about a bush dance. Who's ever been at a bush dance where you weren't stood on? You were at a, you know, that was too tame because they're no fun like that. But at a bush dance, everyone gets stood on. Don't come to me going, someone just stood on my toe. It'd be like, well, that's the third time it's happened to me tonight already. It's just a fact. Don't let fear of that keep you out of the dance, because it's in building relationship with one another. We might not realize it. You know, some of us know it already. Some of us are in life groups and we thank God for the group we're in. We thank God for the people who have been brought into our life. You know why? Because you didn't realize it at the time, but when you met them and when you decided to engage in relationship with them, you didn't realize, but you were actually getting involved in the dance. You were getting involved in something so much bigger than what you could see. You were like, you're actually doing God-like things, because that's what he does. Continuously relating with grace, mercy and justice, and all of this is just happening continuously. And then God invites us to actually join in what he's doing. So get in a life group. Here's the last thought. Get into society. Relationship with Jesus, relationship with one another, and relationship with the world around us. The last thing that God ever wanted us to be was some like holy enclave, some Christian enclave that doesn't touch the world and the world doesn't touch it. I look at Jesus and he was the dead opposite. He was actually in trouble with religious people for the kind of friends he had. At the end of the day, you know, if God came down to look how much we were like Jesus, you know, would we have those kind of people in our life? I mean, I wonder what kind of a party you'd have to go to in Toowoomba for a prostitute to turn up. But that was the kind of party Jesus found himself at. Now, get me right here. He didn't let that touch his heart. He brought change into the midst of a really diabolical situation. But at the end of the day, he's at a party with a prostitute with seven demons that everyone in the room knew who she was. And he brought change to it, and so much change that when it push came to shove and he's being crucified for what he was saying, she was quite happy to be there and risk being stoned as well. That's how much change she brought. So before you go, oh, Pastor Chris said we can go to the wildest parties, you go there to be a change agent, not to do the dumb stuff that you see. And so we need to get into society, relationship with those outside of church. Immerse yourself in the masses. Here's a powerful passage of scripture from Ezekiel. I'm just going to pick three verses out of about 20 verses. It's a powerful passage. You can go back and read it yourself, because I all know how much you love reading your Bibles. Ezekiel 47. It says, and this is the prophet Ezekiel, and he's having a divine vision, a revelation, literally, of God's plan and heaven and all sorts of stuff. And it says, then he brought me back to the door. This is an angel that's conversing with him. Then he brought me back to the door of the temple, and there was water flowing from under the threshold of the temple toward the east, for the front of the temple faced east. And the water was flowing from under the right side of the temple, south of the altar. And then the next couple of verses, it talks about him being taken deeper and deeper, and the angel measuring out a distance, and him walking, and he goes from his ankles to his knees to his waist until he's in a river that he has to swim. It's too deep for him to stand up in. And then in verse 9, the angel said, and it shall be that every living thing that moves, wherever the rivers go, will live. And there will be a very great multitude of fish because these waters go there, for they will be healed, and everything will live wherever the river goes. Now, some of us who might have been around long enough, you've heard me preach messages on this, applying it to the power of the Holy Spirit. Water is a type of the Holy Spirit in Scripture. And so it's like wherever the presence of God goes, it brings healing, it brings life, etc. But I just want to encourage us a step further than that. When Jesus said, go out into all the world, it's a very similar picture to what this is. This is a river flowing from the very presence of God out into the earth, and it's bringing healing wherever it goes. And I look at that and I compare it to Matthew 28, where Jesus, you know, said to his disciples, go therefore and preach the gospel to every nation. And we know that God's plan was to bring healing and bring life to people. And so I actually see us in the whole big scheme of it. Wherever we will allow our lives to flow, and the Holy Spirit that's contained within us, wherever we allow that river of God to flow, will bring life and bring healing. We can't afford just to be, this is about church. No, we come to church to get trained, to get equipped, to get inspired, to get encouraged, so that we can actually go and do the mission of God. Allow our lives to flow towards others, to bring healing and to bring life. Verse 11 then, it says, just one little aside, it says, but its swamps and marshes will not be healed. They will be given over to salt. And you know, there's always places that don't receive. There's always places that push back. And here it's talking about this river, and it's like whoever's in the flow of the river and moving, there's life in it. And we know that wherever a river stops flowing and it goes into a little side eddy and becomes a brackish pool, everything dies in it. And honestly, you see that in church life. There's some people that allow themselves to get out of the stream of what God's doing, and they get discouraged, or they get offended, or they get ticked off with someone about something, and they decide to give up. Maybe they struggle and wrestle with their own foibles that much, they get discouraged and decide, I'm not going to flow with this anymore. I'm stepping out of the dance. And their lives always turn brackish. There's other people in our world, I guess, first application, looking at the scripture, and not everyone's going to be really happy that you've turned up full of joy, ready to dance. But that shouldn't discourage you from continually allowing your life to flow towards other people. Because that's the plan, that's the purpose of God for us, is to take what He's done in us and empty it out for others, to bring life to others. Whether they receive, some will not receive it, many will. The idea is that we just keep pouring ourselves out. And sometimes, you know, you don't realize it, but you get out there and you're talking to friends and you're mixing with people that, you know, don't normally go to church. I'm in a coaching group with some business people. It's really, really quite funny, because there's a kinesiologist, and there's a really successful businessman, and a lot of the whole temper of the room is just like, it's like money and making money and how to run big business and blah, 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 blah. And I feel like I'm just a chaplain in the middle of it all. And you don't realize when you say yes to an opportunity like that, you don't realize what's about to happen next. But I've realized after spending a bit of time with those people and seeing how the life of God in me has begun touching them and how open they're becoming to Jesus, it makes me realize I didn't know when I said I'd do it, but I've actually just entered the dance. Actually, all of a sudden I realize, hey, there's a bigger purpose in this, there's a bigger plan. I thought I was just going to go do that, but actually God's got another whole agenda. And all we have to do for God to use us is just be open enough to dance. Don't be a wallflower. Don't be sitting off to the side. Don't let hurt, don't let discouragement, don't let that stuff take you out of the mainstream. Just stay in the flow. Keep moving. Be a choreographer's dream. Just keep moving. And sometimes, you know, you step on God's toes. Who's ever stepped on God's toes? Had the distinct feeling you've stepped on God's toes? Who's ever had the distinct feeling God stepped on your toes? But the key is that you just keep dancing. You keep learning how to do things God's way. And you've entered into something so much bigger. You've actually entered into what you're created for. So if you want to know how to get into the dance, just get into the Word of God. Begin to relate to Jesus. Get in somewhere with other believers and begin to relate to the body of Christ, your brothers and sisters in the faith. And don't forget to immerse yourself in the masses, to meet people outside of the church, maybe outside of belief in God altogether. Just keep letting the life of God flow through you to them. Otherwise, you just become a stagnant pool. If it's all about you holding it to yourself, you're just going to go stagnant every time. Let that river flow out through you to others. There's the dance. Can we pray tonight? Can we just bow our heads and pray? Thank you, Father. Lord, I just pray for every one of us. Father, I pray that we would indeed just be determined to participate in the dance, Father. We would determine to put your word first in our hearts and our lives and allow it to touch us and build our relationship with Jesus. I pray, Father God, for everyone here that we would be able to find places of meaningful connection, maybe amongst some of the many life groups that are even represented here tonight, that we'd find a place where we could connect with your people in a meaningful way and grow and learn to live out our salvation, learn to live out the changes Jesus wants to make in our life. And I pray for all of us as well, everyone here with faith in Jesus, that we would not hold this to ourselves, but we'd allow a river to flow right from the inside of us towards those that do not know you yet. Let life and love and generosity and mercy flow through us towards people who are on the outer at the moment. But Lord, you want to see them invited into the dance. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I just want to pray for a group of people here tonight, just while their heads are bowed and their eyes are closed. You know, if you're here and it's like, man, I've seen something in that, Chris. I really want to rise up to the dance. I really want to get involved in what God's doing. Maybe I've been a bit flippant with the will of God, or maybe I haven't even understood how to get a hold of it. But what I've seen tonight, it's like I want to put my hand up and say, God, I'm ready to get down and boogie in my life. I'm ready to dance. And if that's you, why don't you just raise your hand right now? I just want to pray for you right now. If you've seen something tonight and it's like, man, I just really want to enter the dance. Come on, don't be shy. Just raise your hand up. Thank you, Lord. Father, I thank you for these hearts. Thank you for these hearts that are just reaching out to you. And I pray, Father God, you'd meet them like you did me as a young man in my room at 21 years of age. And you just showed up there and it's been a 30-year adventure. I pray for those, Father, who are just responding to you right now that really want to dance, enter into something divine, something fresh, something deeper. I pray that you'd meet them and draw them in Jesus' name. Others in this place, there's another group of people I want to speak to, and maybe that's a different spin on how you've ever seen God. Maybe you've seen yourself as just on the outer and not on the in, and you know what? That's probably your choice, not God's. God wants everyone in the dance. God's inclusive, and sometimes, unfortunately, we as Christians even can make him seem a bit exclusive, but man, no one's got a monopoly on God. God's there for you too. And tonight you might be thinking, I want to just step up. I want to include God in my life, in my journey. I want to begin the dance for the first time ever with God. The Bible simply says that forgiveness is found in his Son, Jesus Christ, no matter where you've been, no matter what you've done. Faith in Jesus is God's answer to our world and to our lives uniquely. And so if you're here and you're ready and just like, God, I want you to do something in my heart, I'm going to ask you to slip your hand up as well. I'm going to pray for you too, real quick. Not going to embarrass you. Just slip your hand up. I'll acknowledge it. You can put it down and then we'll pray. Just as I look across here, God bless you, mate. That's fantastic. Others in this place, won't prolong it, but just give you the opportunity. Others in this place, and just know I need to make that decision to follow Jesus tonight. Looking across one more time. Thank you, Father. Lord, I just thank you for hearts that have responded to you tonight. I pray that you'd meet them right where they're at. Father, make yourself so wonderfully real to them as they reach out to you, as they determine to enter this thing that we could call the divine dance of life. Then I pray that you would meet them in an amazing way in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Fantastic. Well, we're going to pray this simple prayer together. And if you've responded tonight, I just really encourage you to use this prayer as your own. Can we pray? Dear Jesus, I believe in you. Thank you for forgiving me. Come into my life and I'll follow you. Amen. Amen. Fantastic. So if you made that decision, make sure before you leave, grab a Bible and some encouragement to go on your journey with. Fantastic. Let's stand. Let's go to here thanking God.